Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life, Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120. Or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome into Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT. I am Jackson Reams, the usual producer and co-host, but today hosting, joined here by my father, Rick Reams, for another edition of an All Reams 1250 Sports Talk. We'll actually be on together for the next 3 days, so you can... I guess you can be excited about that, or you cannot be, but that's how it's going to be. So thank you to everyone for tuning in today. McGee's Bakery, our sponsor of the day today, over at 726 East Main Street. I went ahead and looked at the address instead of trying to guess about it. A fantastic place to get coffee, pastries, sandwiches, and they've been around since 1956, so you know they're doing it right. Want to thank them for being our longtime sponsor and encourage everyone to go check them out, whether it's for breakfast or lunch that they offer down there at McGee's Bakery. Getting into sports news, not a ton of breaking stuff today. So instead, we're going to take a closer look at a couple of things. The first being those Catsbys last night at Memorial Coliseum. Now, I know you didn't go. Did you even think about streaming the Catsbys last night?
No, I have no idea who won or who was nominated. I guess it was UK athletes. I did see that Kaylee Hartung came in from CNN to,
and Sean
to
Farnham.
Host it with Sean Farnham. I did see some tweets about Marlena Van Hoos singing some songs, a Journey song that I like and different things. So, yeah, I hate to be like this, but that holds no interest to me.
Well, it still seemed like it was a pretty good time, whether you went and watched it or not. Looked like it was pretty well sold out, too, from what I could tell from the few pictures I saw. Of course, it was the first time it was open to the public this year. And don't want to go through every single award, but maybe just pick out a couple of awards of winners that you would recognize the names of. Male Rookie of the Year went to Malik Monk. And my first question is, should Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox or one of those guys gotten it? Or should it have been Benny Snell from the football team? And the main argument there being that you see one-and-done guys every single year for the basketball team be the rookies of the year and be all-everything. Should it have gone to a football guy this time?
Absolutely. I think Benny Snell should have gotten that award. I know that holds a lot of water with everyone at the Catsbys, but I'm with you, Jackson. I really just think that he had such an unbelievable year that we didn't even know who he was when he started. He didn't play the first couple games, and then he just came on like gangbusters. I mean, everyone in the country knew Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, all those guys on the basketball team. So I think this was the 1 year, and I truly think that Benny Snell earned it just from the year he had as a true freshman coming in here on a football team where, honestly, we're trying to get to the point where we don't have to rely on true freshmen.
I'm right there with you. I think that should have been an award to go to Benny Snell. It did not, however, however. It was the fourth straight year that a Kentucky men's basketball player won that award. You also had Jamal Murray, Karl Anthony Towns, Julius Randle, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Brandon Knight, and DeMarcus Cousins as past winners of the award. Let's also look at the coach of the year. They ended up giving it to four separate coaches and kind of made it a tie for the win of that award. Mark Stoops' football team, John Calipari men's basketball, Lars Jorgensen, who is the swimming and diving coach, and Edric Floreal of the track and field, I guess, sports or team, whatever you want to call it. Any thoughts on there being four different coaches tied for that award?
I would just kind of be disappointed if I was another coach and four of them got awards and the rest of us didn't. So that leaves out Stoops, Matthew Mitchell, a bunch of coaches that I don't know. Rachel Lawson.
Stoops was on there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Stoops and Calipari,
okay.
And then swimming team and track,
track team. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think. Hey, that's great, but let's get that to one award. You know, just seems like Edric Floreal, however you say his name, had a great year. But I know the swimming and diving team did things this year that they've never done before. Again, I know we're splitting hairs here, and it doesn't really matter. But, hey, I think let's just find one coach and let's give it to that coach. You know, Calipari and Stoops, they get a lot of stuff and everything. But, hey, you know what? I guess it's up to a vote. I don't know how they decide who wins it. But however it was, there was a four-way tie.
I don't have any idea how they decide who wins it either. I would assume they may go and allow the athletes themselves to vote. I think that would be, if they don't do it that way, they should do it that way. But I think that's how they do it. Coach Cal has won that award for Coach of the Year 7 of his 8 seasons at Kentucky. And then the men's basketball team also won Male Team of the Year, which was their 7th win of that award in the last 8 years. So lots of recognition for the basketball team. You did have Heart of a Wildcat given out to both Michaela Epps and Evelyn Akator, and I think that was a great win for those two because they really kept together a team that could have just completely fallen apart with all of the transfers from the women's basketball program. Those two seniors stuck around, and they led them to what was still a pretty successful season, all things considered.
Yeah, it was at the start of the season. I mean, even before the season started, I'm talking about, we just didn't know what this team was going to be made of. We knew they had Michaela Epps. We knew she was good. Evelyn Akator had been good, but she'd only been here a year. So it was, I think that's a great reward and award for them. I think they both deserve that. I think Michaela Epps is already in training camp or whatever up in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't be there. But, you know, that's another great thing to tell these players is, hey, two girls on our basketball team are already working out with their WNBA teams. And so I think it's a great award for them. I know they also gave out an award, I'm not sure what it was, to two of the four guys that had statues in front of Commonwealth Stadium. I'm not sure what those were for. I know Greg Page is one that has passed away, but I saw that they gave them, I don't know if it was an artist rendering or whatever, but I thought that was a nice touch to include those guys in the program. And I think it's always good to see some of the, and I know they wouldn't appreciate me saying secondary sports, but I think it's some of the, you know, see the, some of the tennis guys and gals and the golf people, swimmers, divers. You know, we know a diver, Becca Hamperian, who is an All-American diver. I think it's just they kind of, with basketball and football, you don't hear much about these other sports, but I know for Mitch Barnhart, it has been a priority of his to get our so-called Olympic sports productive and also to be able to compete all the ones that are in the SEC. I think there's some soccer and stuff. We don't have the SEC, but I think they've done a good job with that. And I think he has the coaches that he's wanting. And I tell you one thing, Jackson, we found out with, I guess it was women's soccer. If you're not holding your end of the deal, man, it doesn't matter how long you've been here. Mitch is going to pull the string and get rid of you.
Well, one thing I did think was kind of disappointing with these Cats piece is that you couldn't honor Nick Mangione for the effort that he's had so far with the baseball team. I'd say that's probably because his season is still, you know, very much in swing. And so I think if I was going to give that Coach of the Year to anyone, I think hands down you'd have to give it to Nick Mangione and the baseball team because they're in position to be a top 8 seed, which is, they only seed the top 8 in the NCAA tournament. And right now he's got his squad very much in the line to do that.
Yeah, and I think, Jackson, I think the deal is he will be the SEC and the National Coach of the Year. I just don't see that there's any way anyone else could get that award. So, you know, like you said, the same thing. I guess the same thing with Rachel Lawson. Her season's still going on and everything. But, yeah, that baseball team, I mean, it's just – and it's interesting to hear the national pundits talking about UK baseball because really no one saw this coming. And I mean no one. Maybe Nick Mingione saw it coming. I don't know. But no one else thought this team was going to be able to do what they're doing.
And, of course, we discussed that baseball team the week yesterday. Greg and I talked about it. They went 3-1 against top 10 opponents. One win over Louisville, number 2 in the country, and then 2 of 3 from number 8 LSU. Riley Mahan was named the co-player of the week in the SEC for that. His efforts in those 3 wins out of 4 games against top 10 teams this past week. Went 11-for-16, 2 doubles, a home run, 6 RBIs, and 4 runs scored. We only have about a minute or so left, but I was just going to open up just for a second what your thoughts were. We went to that second game of the doubleheader for UK baseball against LSU, the only game of the weekend they dropped to LSU, and even saw Baylor's women's basketball coach there. So it was a very unique situation that we were in.
It was. I had no idea that LSU would have the number of fans that they had there. Apparently the guy that sat in front of us is like the number one fan. He started all the cheers. She goes to the, all the football games, sit next to a couple that actually live in Lexington now, but they graduated from LSU. They're filling me in on why Kim Mulkey was there. Her son played. You know, Jackson, that when we got there, of course, as the game went on, it started raining. It got really cold. When we got there, that stadium was packed, which was awesome to see. If you've never been out there, especially with young kids, take your kids out there. It's a fun environment and everything. But I was impressed with what I saw. And you know what? I think only the best is yet to come. I just hope we can keep Mingione here. I don't know if he's going to be a hot commodity or not.
Well, he may be, but hopefully not after just one season. So we'll see how long Kentucky can stick with him. And, of course, he's done a fantastic job for that baseball team. And unfortunate, he wasn't able to be recognized last night for the Catsbys. That's going to do it for our first segment here. When we return, we are going to have Buzz Baker of WKYT and the SEC Network and UK Sports Network. So a guy who covers a lot of different bases. We'll be right back after this break. Action Jackson Reams, my dad Rick Reams, with Buzz Baker on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
BurgerFi. Natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has 2 locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks.
You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that action coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what action coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my action coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our second segment of the day, a beautiful day here in Central Kentucky. You have myself, Action Jackson Reams, and my father, Rick Reams, doing the show today while Greg Horn is out. I want to thank our sponsor of the day, McGee's Bakery, down on Main Street in downtown Lexington, offers you a lot of different pastries and sandwiches for breakfast or lunch, and we want to thank them for being a longtime sponsor of 1250 Sports Talk. On the phone right now, we are joined by Dave Buzz Baker, the broadcaster who does WKYT, SEC Network, and UK Sports Network as well. And Buzz, this is kind of a first for us because I don't think I've done a one-on-one interview with you as the lead interviewer.
Well, you're technically not. If your dad's there with you, right?
Well, it's not. Right? Yeah, you're right. But I meant taking the lead, I guess. This would be a first time for me.
Did you go with your mom and dad last week to D.C.?
I did not. My mom actually went solo this trip, and they had
lots. Dad bagged her, too?
Yeah, they had lots of different things going on up there in D.C. I think she was very glad to arrive home this past Saturday.
You tell your mom that anytime she needs somebody to go as a chaperone, I'm in.
All right.
That was an awesome trip.
Well, I'll definitely have to let her know. Buzz, we'll jump straight into this UK news because
you don't want to talk about the field trip anymore?
Yeah, I think I'm okay.
Okay, all right, just checking.
But it was a tough 24 hours for Kentucky fans late Sunday and then going into Monday as well. Let's get started with the basketball team. You had Hamidou Diallo, the player who had just come in for one semester at Kentucky, announced that he was going to check out the NBA and not hire an agent. Seemed like that ruffled a lot of feathers in the Big Blue Nation, and just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on his declaration of looking into the draft.
Well, I mean, I if it ruffled a bunch of feathers, and I'm sure it did, I mean, why would it? I mean, the kid said that's what he was going to do, and, you know, listen, I know that there's a lot of talk out there now and everything, but I think he's going to use this pretty much the same way that the Cal has used that combine before the start of the season with his guys to see what he needs to work out on. That gives him a whole summer to work on things. Now, anything can change, but everybody's got to have their name in now. And so I don't know what all he's going to go through up in Chicago. That's the big deal for a guy like that, is do you go through the testing, do you go through the interviews, and then do you play in Chicago? Not a lot of guys, especially those guys that are thought to be first-rounders, won't actually play up there. So, you know, I tend to think right now, based on what I know, that he's using this to gather information and see what he wants to work on over the summer, what he needs to work on over the summer. But by the same token, though, I would say to you that, you know, that there's a possibility that something could happen depending on who stays in the draft, who drops out.
Well, with Diallo, he's a guy who kind of would, quote-unquote, be sort of a veteran coming back to the team next year, a team that'll lose almost 81 points per game off their roster. So how impactful would it be, you think, if he were to return to school and be able to play with that big-time recruiting class coming in next season?
Well, he's a key guy. And, I mean, it may be a big-time recruiting class, but it ain't nearly enough yet. I mean, with all the rebuilding jobs that Cal has done, he's losing 8 of his top 9. I mean, out of the top 9, Wenyen Gabriel's the only guy that's back. So this is his biggest ever recruiting job. And, And again, as I tell people, it could be the number one recruiting class this year, okay? Is it the number one recruiting class of all time? I don't know. The number five class this year might be better than the number one class 4 years ago. You know, it's kind of like the, and I've used this analogy with you guys before, it's like the Kentucky Derby. It's not necessarily who the best horse is in a given year, and rarely does the Derby winner win Horse of the Year, but it's who is the best three-year-old horse on the first Saturday in May. And so, you know, yeah, there's a lot of promise, but I think there are as many question marks, if not more, than there's ever been in terms of a cow recruiting class.
Well, with this team next season, you also found out a little bit, heard the rumblings of it yesterday, and heard officially today that Bam Adebayo will stay in the draft, will sign with an agent, and will not return to Kentucky. I don't think that it should come as too big of a surprise. I'm sure there were some people still holding out hope that he would return to Kentucky. But what do you think about the future for Bam Adebayo in the NBA, a guy who I think really has the body for it already and just needs to put some other things together to become an impactful guy in the next level?
Well, I mean, he's got to develop skills, and I think it's a big mystery right now. I mean, the thing with Bam is that, you know, several years ago he was talked about as being maybe the number one overall pick out of this class. And while he's played well, he certainly hadn't played up to that level. And so the question becomes, you know, where is he? I mean, I've seen, you know, I saw some mock drafts, and have, for a variety of reasons, have been following this more closely than I ever have. You know, some places he was out of the first round. Some places he was the first pick in the second round, or the first round. Earlier yesterday, I think I saw he had jumped up to like 16 or 17 in one of the mock drafts. But, you know, he's going to have to develop some ball handling skills. He's going to have to develop a little bit of an outside shot from his position, because he's just not big enough to play with his back to the basket and succeed in the NBA.
Dave, I saw earlier today that, like, Dakari Johnson was first team NBA developmental league and all that. Do you think that it's worth it for these guys to come out early and go to the developmental league, or do you think they would benefit more from staying at school? I know that's kind of a tough call, but what are your thoughts on that?
That's the best Reams question that's ever been asked on this show, first of all.
Thank you, Dave.
no problem. But here's what it is. This is the way the system is set up. And like I said, I've been more involved in this year than I've ever been. The way that the NBA rookie salary contract works with the latest collective bargaining agreement is you've got to get on the clock. You cannot make your first big money until you've been in the league for 4 years. And most of the guys get that contract in there at the end of their third year, going into their fourth year, midway through that third year. Cousins got his big deal. John Wall got his big deal. Eric Bledsoe got, what, $40 million or something like that. So that clock can't start until you get into the league. And that's because the league wants to get those guys into their game as soon as possible. Nothing to do with the colleges, nothing to do with Cal. It's just the way that the system is. So if you think you've got the opportunity to make that kind of money, then you got to get in. And if you can get in and say, for instance, and I don't have the exact number, but I was looking the other day, like with the new contract structure, if you're like about 15th in the first round, I mean, you're looking at an initial four-year contract up in the neighborhood of between $12 and $14 million total, okay? So if you drop all the way down to the 30th pick, which is the last pick of the first round, there is only $1.5 million difference between the last pick in the first round and the first pick in the second round, which that first pick in the second round is still guaranteed money. So for those guys, it's still kind of life-changing money, you know, once they get on a roster. Then they get to working with guys at that level, in that league, for a particular team, and a team can go ahead and start working them out, doing the things that they want them to do to get them ready for whatever position it is they believe they can play. It's kind of the model, Action Jackson. Isn't that what all your football clubs do over in Europe? They have like a minor league, and they get all those young kids tied up in there, and they have them playing in the system and everything, and then when they're ready to get booted up, they get booted up, and they're ready to go. How am I doing?
Yeah, no, that's actually very accurate. A lot of those big time clubs have a youth system that they bring up young guys through, and occasionally you'll see a guy who ends up being a superstar through those. But that is very accurate. So I've got to give you props where it's due right now, Buzz.
That's right, Manchester City. I'm all over it. But here's the deal. Now, you know that's bad for the college game. Okay. But for the way the NBA is structured now and what these guys have to do and the kind of life-changing money they can get, that's what they've got to do. And whether we think they're ready or not, or whether they are ready or not, if somebody is willing to spend a draft pick on them and they've got the time and a slot in their organization to work with them, then that's the only thing that matters, is what those people that are signing the checks believe in terms of whether or not they're ready to go.
Well, at this point, Kentucky fans and the team as well will just be waiting on that one decision from Hamidou Diallo on whether he returns to school or not. Then they've got all of this going on with recruiting. Pittsburgh grad transfers coming in to visit tomorrow. A four-star shooting guard makes his decision tomorrow, and they have a guy on campus right now who just recently committed from out in California, Jamal Baker. So how much of a whirlwind of a May do you expect it to be? I mean,
And here's the thing, too. I mean, to me, it's all about the Bamba.
Yeah, I was just about to say, then you also have to wait out on Mohamed Bamba as well.
And the whole Bamba deal, you know, I don't know what Greg is saying, but the whole Bamba deal is down to Kentucky and Texas.
Yeah, he's...
So D. Horn is tracking hard on Bamba, too. And the information that I'm getting is that it's been kind of a change for these coaches that are recruiting right now. Because when these kids start making their decision and everything and start evaluating, they do what a friend of mine, Mikey Dotson, says, is they go ghost. You can't get them. They won't answer the phone. You send them a message, you get a one-word text answer. It's kind of the same thing your dad went through with you. It's a phase. But apparently it gets more intense when they're in the decision-making process. So I can say with a good deal of certainty that I don't think that either Texas or Kentucky has a feel for what Bamba is going to do, because he's just not showing his cards.
Well, that's been a big topic of discussion for us here on the show. Of course, Greg saying he's holding out, hoping that Bamba chooses Texas. I hope he chooses Kentucky. But either way, it looks like we'll get to keep track of what he does, and should be a great talent in the college level when he gets there. Now I want to transition over. We're talking about these decisions. The Kentucky football team got some really bad news when a very highly regarded quarterback, Jaren Williams, decommitted for the class of 2018, and not focusing so much on the player specifically, but this is now the second year in a row that Kentucky has had a highly regarded quarterback that they got on early decommit late in the process. And I'm just wondering, how do you think that the coaches are taking that when it's happened now a second year in a row?
Well, it's part of, you know, if you swing for the fences, sometimes you get the ball over the fence, and sometimes it's caught at the warning track. And so, you know, that's what you got to do. And that's exactly what you have to do. And so you're going to see more and more of that. And if you see more and more of that, it may be frustrating, but it also shows that Kentucky is getting in on some big time guys. Now, what may help that, and a lot of people believe that the NCAA going to this early signing period for football is going to help Kentucky, because they get on a guy early, they get that commitment from him early, they can get him signed early, and then guys like this, once the big boys come swooping in late, won't be taken away from them.
All right, and finally, before I let you go here, Dave, you're a guy who's paid attention to both the softball and the baseball team, both of them very successful so far, and I think it's great to see Kentucky being so successful in these other Olympic sports that maybe some people don't pay as much attention to as they should, but I think the baseball team and the softball team are two teams that people really need to pay attention to here over the summer.
Well, the baseball team, obviously, moved up from number 10 to number 6 nationally. They got that win over number 2 Louisville last week. They won 2 of 3 from number 9 LSU. Moved up to number 6, big weekend series at South Carolina. Now they've got the opportunity to not only make some noise in the SEC, but make enough noise to actually host a regional here, which would be huge for this program. And then Rachel Lawson's softball team, they have continued to consistently be good. They have got a roster this year dominated by freshmen and sophomores. Still, they're in the top 20, playing their best ball of the year, I believe, coming off a sweep at Missouri. And they've got Texas A&M coming in for their final home series of the regular season this weekend.
And just for people out there to know that how important that regional hosting for the UK baseball team would be, I believe at this point in the season they are 19-3 at Cliff Hagan Stadium. So it would just be massive if they could stay at home for a regional when it came to NCAA tournament time, which is the most important time of the year.
Absolutely. And I think it's another step in the right direction, another great hire by Mitch Barnhart. And, you know, they've got a lot of guys that are getting it done a lot of different ways, and it's been a ton of fun to watch so far. And let's hope that fun continues for another month or so.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. And I'd say all things considered, Dave, I think it went pretty well, other than you saying that my dad's question was the best question by a Reams you had ever heard before.
Well, I mean, there's no question it was the best question.
That's exactly right, Dave. I agree with you.
I mean, there was nothing about Lionel Messi and that goal the other night and the guy screaming or something like that, or some abject, you know, defender, you know, playing for Tottenham Hotspur or something. I mean, it was real, thoughtful, substantive questioning. Someone who had obviously done their homework and not come in there, you know, after, you know, having diet sodas at Applebee's for the last couple hours or so. You know, so it was not only well done, but it was appreciated by the guest.
Well, we thank you for taking the time with us today, Dave. Always a lot of fun to talk to you.
Me and you, next year on the bus.
Yes.
Shows live from the bus in D.C.
We'll have to do that. We'll definitely have to look into that.
I'll
let my mom know, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Be good, man.
All right. Well, that was Dave Buzz Baker of WKYT, the UK Sports Network, and the SEC Network. Going to wrap it up for this segment, and when we return, still some UK stuff to talk about. Maybe who they're going to look at to replace Jaren Williams in the next year's football class. Oscar Combs has heard some things about where the Big 12 SEC Challenge may take place for Kentucky next year. All that and more when we return for our third segment, Action Jackson Reams, my dad Rick Reams, on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our third segment of the day. No Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams, and my dad Rick Reams. Want to thank McGee's Bakery for being our sponsor of the day. They've been around since 1956 and have really been doing things very well down there at their location, 726 East Main Street in downtown Lexington. Go check them out for breakfast or lunch and thank them for being a longtime sponsor of 1250 Sports Talk. Just had a great segment there with Dave Buzz Baker in our last segment. And if you missed it or you missed any of our shows these last couple of days or last couple of weeks, make sure you check out our podcasts. You can find those on our website at 1250sportstalk.com or on Facebook or Twitter simply at 1250 Sports Talk. I want to wrap up some basketball thoughts before we move on to anything else. As I mentioned to Dave Baker, there are a couple of recruiting notes for the basketball team. Cam Johnson, the Pittsburgh grad transfer who shoots about 50% from three, is on campus tomorrow to start a visit. Jamal Baker, the four-star shooting guard from California, on campus today. And then Mark Smith of Illinois, the four-star shooting guard, will make a decision tomorrow. Even some reports out there that Missouri is out for Kevin Knox, which would leave him down with Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, and Florida State. Any of those that stand out to you more than the others?
You know, the one guy I think I'm just wanting to get that Cam Johnson. I just think he's a pivotal guy with even though he would be new to our team, he at least has experience playing the game, the college game. And I think that's the thing we're going to need next year with all these new players coming in. I think that's one reason it's going to be pivotal for Hamadou Diallo, however I say his name.
Diallo. You were very close.
I came pretty close for an old guy. And, you know, even though he's not played in a game, he's been in the environment, in the arenas and different things like that. You know, the one guy that I don't know much about this, Mark Smith. I'm not overly impressed with him. Maybe he'll come in and be an All-American. I don't know. But I think that that if you get Cam Johnson, you have Jamal Baker coming in, it really sounds like Knox is not looking to us. Maybe he can pull an upset at the last minute. But I think Bamba's the key there also. So I think if we can get Bamba and we can get Cam Johnson, I'm going to be pleased with this recruiting class.
And it'll be a team, like we talked about, that is going to have a lot of work to do. They lose 81 points per game, which, by the way, is more than 324 schools averaged for the entire season last year. So they've got a lot of new pieces that will be coming in, and just to continue to add talent. And like you said, with Cam Johnson, to add experience could be extremely important for this team. Also considering that Oscar Combs, our friend, has heard that it sounds like Kentucky will be headed to Morgantown, West Virginia, to face the Mountaineers for the SEC Big 12 Challenge next year. It's been a while since we've played West Virginia, and I say that jokingly because I think it's been like 2 years, but that sounds about right for where Kentucky would end up for the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Yeah, it does. And Jackson, I was looking back. Kentucky has an overall record of 15-5 versus West Virginia full time, all time record. You know, the one game everyone remembers is the 2010 team where West Virginia beat us 73-66 as in the NCAA East Regional Finals in Syracuse, New York. That was the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins team. We came back and avenged that loss the next year, 71-63 in the third round at Tampa. And then the last time we played them, 2015, we just absolutely destroyed them, 78-39. And that was in the NCAA Midwest Regional Semifinals. So I think they're probably laying for us in the fact that they want to repay us for that last just blowout.
And something to keep in mind, Kentucky hasn't won an SEC Big 12 Challenge in at least 2 years, and it may have been even further back than that because Baylor had beaten them in Rupp Arena, beat them on a neutral court as well. So it has been quite a while since Kentucky's gotten a win in that series, and that could be a really hard game for them next season. Move over to the football recruiting side of things. We talked about Jaren Williams heading out, and I've got a little bit of news for you from Justin Rowland of Rivals. He confirmed that Kentucky reached out to Kevin Doyle, who is a high three-star, low four-star quarterback out of Washington, D.C. and that Darren Henshaw has spoken to him recently. He will likely visit Kentucky very soon. And a guy that Kentucky would be back in on, he looks like Boston College and Pittsburgh are his other two big-time schools that are really in on him and that he really likes. But I think it's important for Kentucky to turn the page. Sounds like what Justin Rowland said yesterday, that they're going to probably have to walk away altogether from Jaren Williams and going to have to start fresh. But the good news is that it sounded like this Doyle kid reached out to Kentucky himself last week before the decommitment, said he felt like Williams was wavering, and so he decided he wanted to reopen lines of communication with Kentucky. And I'd say that's always a good thing to hear.
Yeah, you know, I would much rather have a kid that wants to be here as opposed to a kid that just kind of says, okay, well, I'll come. You know, Jackson, I hate to be like this being an adult, and I should be a bigger adult than this, but if a kid decommits from me, I'm done. He said he's reopening his recruitment. Well, you know what? He's not on my recruiting page anymore. Mac Jones the same way. You know what? You said you were coming. You said you're all in. Same thing. We heard the exact same thing from Jaren Williams.
100% committed.
I asked Roland about that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and he said, no, this kid, and I'm not blaming Justin. Justin said he never saw this coming, but the kid said, I'm 100% in. I'm not even going to camps in the summer. I'm going to UK. And you know, when I hear that, I just think, okay, when's he going to decommit?
And everything can change with the drop of a hat, just like we saw with Jaren Williams. Well, that's going to do it for our third segment. My dad, Rick, is going to step out. And in our last segment, we're going to be joined by the co-founder of 1250 Sports Talk, Tim Smith, and then our usual Thursday co-host, Anthony Combs, as well. I'll talk to both of those guys when we return for our last segment of Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Did you know that Asbury University offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? Asbury is also one of only two private colleges in the state of Kentucky with a nationally accredited music program. And Asbury also has more than 150 student organizations to choose from. If you're interested in participating in college instead of being lost in the crowd, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our final segment of the day, and you got a real special one here. As we said yesterday on the show, this is going to be the last week for 1250 Sports Talk, so we're going out with a bit of a bang today, bringing on the co-founder, Tim Smith, and our sometimes one-time usual Thursday co-host, Anthony Combs. So I want to start with you, Tim. What was it like, you know, getting to see something that you helped found go on the air for almost 3 years now and just prosper even when you kind of had to step away from it?
Man, it was amazing. I was thinking about that today. It was right after I tore my ACL playing basketball. Greg came and visited me and was kind of just share with me his vision for it and getting a start on Saturday. We did like two or three Saturdays just to kind of test runs and just to see what it's grown into today. Looking back at the list of I helped Greg, you know, do some of the Facebook ads and stuff, and I've got a folder of all the guests that we've had. It's just amazing to see, you know, the influence we've had on Lexington sports.
And one thing I'll always remember that specifically came from you was back when we broke that A.J. Reed was being called up to the majors last year. Little inside information you got and kind of sent us viral there for a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually just looking that up before while I was on the phone with you because I was trying to remember when it was. It was June of last year. It was about June 24th. And, I had some special inside information, and that was one of my favorite memories of this show just because we broke that news before the Houston Chronicle even did. And I remember I was just sitting there. I tweeted it out, and then I was following the Twitter feed and seeing some of these Astros fans who – I remember one guy in particular said, if this is wrong, we're going to drive to Lexington and burn down your radio station. And I'm like, oh, well, I hope I'm right about this. But it was good information.
Yeah, you were correct and saw lots of Houston people quoting our tweet and saying it from that and saying this is where we got our information. So definitely one of the big-time memories we'll always have from this show. AC, you were a guy who came in. You had a wrestling background, got to discuss wrestling on a sports talk show, kind of mainstream kind of deal. And what were some of your favorite memories from your time here?
Well, I think, Jackson, you know, one of the best memories over time is watching how this thing evolved. And you sit in a studio, and it's just you and one guy across the way, and you wonder, is anybody out there listening to you? And one thing that I found out over the years is, you know, people listen. I go in to get breakfast at Chick-fil-A, and my friend Yusef always says, I really enjoyed the show last night. You know, you get to see – you make new friends that way, and then all of a sudden you get a text message that somebody is either making fun of you can't believe you said what you just said. And then just kind of seeing the friendships blossom. Obviously, I knew Greg and Tim for a long time, but got to become good friends with you and spend a lot of time with you and your dad. So it's been a blast. I think my best memory is when I broke. I was the only person that broke the news in 2015 that Duke was going to win the national championship. Especially when our previous guest that was on the air said, anybody that doesn't pick Kentucky is a blooming idiot. Well, who's the idiot now?
I lost the state center on that deal, too.
Yeah, but you earned one that I still owe you. So
that is true. And yeah. You know, we have to give Anthony credit, and I think Vince McMahon really owes him a debt of gratitude because when 1250 Sports Talk came on the air, the World Wrestling Entertainment had no coverage from Sports Illustrated or SportsCenter or ESPN. And now, you know, because we paved that way, I should say Anthony paved that way, you know, now they're a story on ESPN and, you know, Sports Illustrated has a dedicated person to cover them. And so, I mean, kudos to you, Anthony.
Well, thank you. And then at least one local Central Kentucky radio show has people who are knowledgeable about wrestling as opposed to a bunch of marks that show up on the other channels.
Well, I don't know about people who are knowledgeable about it, but we'll definitely give you person in yourself. So I also really enjoyed getting to know you all. I look forward to continuing at these Tim tailgates in the future,
yes,
Timmy's tailgates, and getting to see you all before all these Kentucky football games. Even though AC and I like to rag on each other, I do enjoy a lot my times at your tailgates, Tim.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime, and I'll be disappointed if I don't see you this fall. And I'm sorry, I missed you at the baseball game on Friday night. I was out on the party deck, which is now — it used to be just me and three of my friends out there, but now it's a big fraternity party with the live DJ. I don't know that I'll be sitting out there anymore. But
you need to come and sit in the stands with us normal people, Tim.
Well, that's what I'm going to do next game, I promise.
I was there Friday, and I didn't see one of you guys.
Yeah, I ended up sitting with LSU fans, so that was kind of unfortunate. All right, guys. Well, we still have about 4 minutes here before we go off air, so I wanted to open things up. You're both big-time football guys. Let's start with AC. What were your thoughts on Jaren Williams decommitting from the program?
Never heard of him. I'm all about Gunnar Hoke right now.
All right.
Oh, Don't be cutting Stephen Johnson short. We still got a good season with him. He was sitting on the. He actually was sitting right ne- or standing right next to me on the party deck on Friday night. Him and Drew Barker and a bunch of other guys from the football field.
But yeah, I should be cautious when I say that. I'm not trying to cut Stephen Johnson short. But I saw Gunnar Hoke, and I saw that the future is in good hands, and the Danny Clark, you know, and Lynn Bowe. I mean, there's a lot going on for Kentucky. And when you get to the point where you're recruiting big-time guys, you're going to lose some guys, and that's going to be okay because you can't live and die by one person. And I think that's what made this team so successful was it wasn't just one guy. It was 22 guys fighting for the same cause every play. And that's the reason that we got a chance to do what we did this year and go to the Taxpayer Bowl. And I got to put on Landon Young's bowl ring on Sunday night. And let me tell you something, boys. That's a nice ring. I can't wait to see the one they get for the BCS championship we're going to win in a couple of years.
You heard it first right here.
That's right.
I'll say, I was listening to y'all first segment, and I agree. I thought Benny Snell should have got the Rookie of the Year for UK Athletics. Maybe Breakout Athlete of the Year. I don't know if they gave one of those away. Oh, that's in the SB. But being a Kentucky football fan, you know, we're not. It's going to be really tough for us to get these big name recruits. What's very frustrating is our coaching staff has a great eye for this talent when they're young, and they recruit them early. And you know, I feel like sometimes at Alabama and Florida State, they just sit back and look who we're going to recruit, and then they just wait on them, you know, to their junior and senior year. But you know. It's the guys like Benny Snell, it's Randall Cobb that people are going to overlook that we're going to be able to lock into, and some of those guys are just going to be they're going to be loyal enough to know that hey, these guys believed in me before anybody else did.
I think that's very well put, and hopefully down the line, you know, maybe Kentucky will be able to hold on to these guys, and at this point just haven't been able to do it. We got about a minute left here, guys. Both Boom Williams and John Toth looking to get drafted in the NFL draft, which starts on Thursday. Let's go with AC. Where do you think John Toth goes round-wise? And then, Tim, you respond with, does Boom get drafted at all?
You know, I don't follow this draft thing as much as a lot of people do, but Toth is going to get picked probably on Saturday, you know, fourth roundish, fifth roundish maybe. I don't know what he's projected at, but
he's between four and seven right now. So
yeah, you know, if I'm starting to, you know, if I'm trying to build my offensive line, John Toth is the guy you take because he's just he's a winner, man. He goes out and gets the job done, and he'll have a long future. I mean, he'll be an anchor of somebody's offensive line for a long time. Because nobody will outwork him, and nobody, you know, other than Freddie Maggard, nobody loves him more than is going to love him more than his quarterback. So he'll have a good career, and I can't wait to see what he does.
And then, Tim, now will he or should he, Boom Williams, get drafted?
Thanks for giving me the easy question. Not to go against Boom Williams' girlfriend from the open practice 2 years ago, but he's not getting drafted. Boom Williams is a great kid. I love him for giving his heart and soul to the UK football team. But I think he'll probably make a practice squad, and he may make a roster. But I don't think running backs are just hard to hold on to, and he's just small, you know, for the NFL. But he'll probably make a practice squad, make a team. But I don't think he'll get drafted.
Well, that'll definitely be something to watch for. That NFL draft, like I said, gets kicked off on Thursday. So if you're out there and you're wanting to watch it, make sure you do it. Guys, that's going to wrap it up. So as far as we know, this may end up being your last time on air. I wanted to say thank you for both of you, Tim, for helping found the show, and Anthony for a lot of the times when you did just the two of us on air. And I really enjoyed my time on air with you guys.
Yeah, you're Jackson, man.
Jack, you're the man. I can't wait to hear you in your next venture. I'm sure you got a spot on the radio somewhere.
Well, I will do my best to find one, and I'll always cherish the days that I had here. Great to talk to you guys, and we'll hear from you again sometime down the road.